Now Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities, from Philosophy Social Criticism by Richard Day. Philosophy & Social Criticism http://psc.sagepub.com. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities. Richard Day. Philosophy, Social Criticism. 2001. 27. 21 Day. 10. 1177/0191-4537010-270102. The online version of this article can be found at http://psc.sagepub.com/0/content/abstract/271-21. Published by http://www.sagepublications.com. Additional services and information for Philosophy & Social Criticism can be found at email alerts http://psc.sagepub.com/e/alerts. Subscriptions http://psc.sagepub.com/subscriptions. Reprints http://www.sagepub.com/journals/reprints. Nav. Permissions. http://www.sagepub.co.uk/journals/permissions. Nav. Citations. http://psc.sagepub.com/0/content/0/271-21. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17, 2009. 02 day jail / d 24/11/09 m. page 21. Richard Day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities. Abstract. This article attempts to chart a course beyond the impasse of the political and Derridean deconstruction that avoids both the ontologization of ethics in Levinas and the recourse to morality in Habermasian discourse ethics. Instead, it presents an account of the decision in a terrain of undecidability through the concept of affinity. This mode of ethico-political activity, when combined with Foucault's analytics of power and Delzant-Guattari's analysis, provides the outlines of a project of radical social transformation that could achieve greater nuance with regard to actually existing democracy and justice than has so far been achieved within deconstructive political theory. At the level of social structure, such a project is commensurate with a move away from subject positions associated with the system of liberal capitalist nation-states in favor of identications produced by a locus of common communities. Keywords: affinity, Critchley deconstruction, Dels and Guattari, Derrida ethics, Foucault, Laclau, and MOVE politics. The deconstructive, genealogical and psychoanalytic critiques of modernity have forced social and political thought of the late 20th century to confront a host of specters at least as frightening as the communism of the manifesto. A partial list would include ethics without morality, critique without appeal to intersubjective reason, community without universality, and history without teleology. In the 1980s, commentators working within the rubric of Neo-Frankfurt School critical theory hammered relentlessly at the normative confusion. Fraser, 1981. 286-1, they found in the scantily concealed End of Philosophy. Habermas, 1987. 53. The attacks continued into the 1990s, but became much more subtle. Rather than seeking to eliminate post-structuralism too, from the ilk of social and political theory, theorists such as Martin J. Philosophy & Social Criticism, Vol. 2701 pp. 2138 PSC. Copyright 2001 Sage Publications, London, Thousand Oaks, CA and New Delhi, left bracket 01914537200100127121380151194. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17th, 2009/02-JL/D/24/11/09M/22. 22 Philosophy Ampersand Social Criticism 271/1993, and PodMe 1994, began trying to assimilate it to their own project. At the same time, writers more closely allied with the deconstructive tradition also began to perceive what Simon Critchley called an impasse of the political in Derridean Deconstruction 1999-189, and offered up various modes of exit. Critchley v. Levin Asian Ethics. Ernesto Laclau through his theory of hegemony, and Derrida himself through a series of engagements with explicitly political themes and issues. None of these efforts, however, has met the call for an adequate account of the decision made in a terrain of undecidability that Critchley claims is essential to the possibility of politics 1999-199,200. In this article, I want to offer a minimal version of such an account via the concept of affinity. As a RST step, it is important to note that politics, on Critchley's definition, an empirical process of contestation and antagonism that permeates social life, is not only possible without an account of the decision, but unavoidable. The account is not necessary in order to enable politics as such, but rather to advance a normative descriptive theory of the possibility of a certain sort of politics in contemporary Western societies. For Critchley and Derrida, this theory is driven by an idea of democracy, which is to be distinguished from its current concept and from its determined predicates today. Derrida, 1994-59. As a futile form, this democracy is always coming, but will never arrive. Thus it must be thought of as a task or project to be attempted. Critchley, 1999-240. Placed in this empirical practical frame, the question of how decisions are taken in a terrain of undecidability would require an analysis of how the idea of democracy relates to actually existing democracies, as well as an analysis of the articulations between democracy and liberalism, capitalism, socialism, the welfare state, technology, colonialism, patriarchy, and so on. Certainly Derridean deconstruction has contributed to the former task, but I want to claim that the thinking of democracy as a project to be attempted must include, though it cannot be exhausted, by a sociological analytics of relations of power within contemporary societies. I also want to claim that Foucauldian genealogy and Dels and Guattari's constructive criticism, Mackenzie, 1997, provide examples of this sort of concrete analysis, and are particularly valuable in allowing us to discriminate between the effects created by various tendencies within liberal democratic capitalist societies, some of which are perhaps pointing to a common democracy, while others might be the harbingers of new forms of totalitarianism. But at this point, the demands of critical theory will be heard again. Why should one prefer democracy over totalitarianism? What arguments can be put forward to convince individuals to attempt this or any other task? To this call for universalistic reasons, while I uttered, downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009/02-JL/D/24/11/09M/23. 23 Day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities. Foucault and Dels and Guattari remained unresponsive to the end, and Derrida seems really bound to the mast of a rigorous program of philosophical deconstruction. 3. Yet even here one would not want to claim too much commonality, for while these writers share much in style and intellectual trajectory, their images and concepts cannot be reduced to a single common denominator, such as a shared rejection of inter-subjective reason might provide. Rather, they have tended to take up partially overlapping ethico-political positions based on perspectival analyses of current social and political conditions. Because of this intense caution with respect to all moments of universalization, it is futile to set out to understand the ethico-political import of post-structuralism, to create proofs of its desirability and efficacy, or to reduce its prophetic force to formulaic utterances. Rather, those who would join in the relays set up by Thuria's struggle against powerful cold, 1996. 75 must work according to logic that escapes reason, the logic of affinity, which may include intersubjective reasoning as one of its modes, but also involves other effects that are discounted or actively warded off in moral discourse. Effects such as passion, strategy, rhetoric and style. This mode of shared decision, making in a terrain of undecidability, this kind of community, cannot take the form of a Sitalikite, or even a multicultural Civitas. It cannot, in fact, be a community, at all as these are currently conceived. Rather individuals and groups linked by affinities, that are temporary, and always shifting are best seen, as examples of what Giorgio Agamben has called common communities 1993. To see how we might construct points of shared ethico-political commitment while maintaining the Nietzschean critique of modernist rationalism and universalism, I will examine the challenges that critical theory, in both its eliminative and assimilative modes, has posed to post-structuralism, and the responses that this challenge has generated. Foucault is unintelligible other, as is well known, the RST reactions of academics outside France to the work of Michel Foucault were both respectful and cautious. Foucault confused and disconcerted them, and they were not afraid to admit it. After reading Discipline and Punish, and The History of Sexuality, Charles Taylor lamented that Foucault dashes the hope, if we had one, that there is some good we can affirm, as a result of the understanding his left bracket historical right bracket analyses give us 1984. 69. Taylor was stumped. What possible motivation could there be for Foucault's critiques, if not to displace one ideal of the good, and replace it with another? Nancy Fraser's reaction, as already noted, was similar to Taylor's. What? Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02/JL/D/2411009/M/24. 24 Philosophy Ampersand Social Criticism 271, Foucault needs, she wrote, and needs desperately, are normative criteria for distinguishing acceptable from unacceptable forms of power, Fraser, 1981. 286. It seems certain that while Foucault was always trying to deepen and shade his analysis of power knowledge subjectification, he never perceived himself to be in need of criteria that would allow him to construct a new or better regime of normative discipline. Rather, it is some of his readers who feel this need, since they cannot understand what motivates or grounds his critique of modernity. They have no experience of the place from which he speaks, so it appears that he speaks from nowhere. Thus Taylor asks, can we really step outside the identity we have developed in Western civilization to such a degree that we can repudiate all that comes to us from the Christian understanding of the will? 1984. 99. Foucault responded, in what is Enlightenment, by claiming that he was not trying to stand outside of Enlightenment humanism, but attempting to move beyond the inside outside alternative, to be at the frontiers, 1984. 45. As for the question of motivation, Foucault suggests in this essay that it is only from the fractal margins of a discursive formation that one can perceive the multitude of possibilities that are necessarily foreclosed so that a particular form of order may emerge. Positioning oneself at the limits of a system then allows one to spy out modes of its possible transgression, ibid. Thus did Foucault try to answer the double-barreled question posed to him by critical theory, where do you stand, and why do you stand there? But his answers were passed over, since they were not formed in the desired way. What critical theory was asking for, and is still asking for, is an argument leading to a universally applicable conclusion, rather than a statement elaborating a particular ethico-political choice. Habermas ex machina, since none of the writers who are commonly included in the post-structuralist camp has come forth with a rational universalistic defense of their position, others have decided to provide this for them. An excellent example of the second, more assimilative phase of interpretation, can be found in a short piece by Martin J., The Morals of Genealogy. Or is there a post-structuralist ethics? 1993. 3848. J. shows great subtlety and generosity in his readings, and produces many insights that leap across the gap between the paradigms with which he is working. Of particular importance here is his treatment of the incommensurable resonances given to the terms ethics and morality within critical theory, and those writers he casts as post-structuralist. Where moral philosophy seeks general answers to ethical questions posed by shared. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02 day jail/d 24/11/09 am page 25. 25 day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Community's Human Condition. 4J notes that the network of ethico-political engagements within post-structuralism fails right bracket to cohere into a systematic moral discourse 1993. 39. Rather, ethics and morality are considered to be in opposition, so that ethics is understood as a resistance to a positive system of moral commands 1993. 41. Emphasis added. 5. So far so good. But there is a crucial turning point in Jay's argument where he runs up against the fact that post-structuralism does not provide any help with the thorny question of how to adjudicate in the present different, often conflicting ethical claims 1993. 47. Unsatisfied with assertions and evocative rhetoric, Jay sets out a series of demands for universalistic answers to universalistic questions. He asks, for example, why should we give priority to protecting difference and heterogeneity over their obliteration? Why is an aesthetic of self-fashioning preferable to an aesthetic of self-denial in the service of another ideal? Ibid. J. of course, NDS no adequate answers to these questions within post-structuralism, and thus takes a Habermasian turn towards intersubjective rational discourse. Ibid. Unfortunately, this attempt to provide post-structuralism with an ethical stance that it supposedly lacks tends to efface the ethical positions that the writers in question already possess via connation of the distinction between ethics and morality that Jay had been so careful to note at the outset of his intervention. Todd Maycott's a similar, though more complex, path through the uncharted land of post-structuralist ethics in his Political Philosophy of Post-Structuralist Anarchism 1994. Like Jay, he is careful in the early stages of his argument to preserve the distinction between ethics and morality. In a discussion of the concept of experimentation, Engels, for example, May notes that the task of becoming minor is precisely that. It is not a task of making the minor dominant 1994. 115. In the Nell chapter on questions of ethics, however, this distinction is blurred. Regarding Foucault's ethic of the care of the self, May parenthetically warns the reader that Foucault here is using the term ethics to denote a practice of self-formation, while our use of the term is more traditional, referring to binding principles of conduct 1994. 123. But this issue cannot be kept in parentheses, for the particularity of Foucault's ethical position relies precisely upon a break with the traditional usage. 6. The suppressed privilege of morality over ethics comes into the open during a discussion of just gaming. Here May notes, Lyotard argues that any discourse meant to account for prescriptions transforms them into conclusions of reasonings, into propositions derived from other propositions cited in May, 1994. 129. Rather than accounting for prescriptions, Lyotard suggests the point is to respect the particularity of language games and minimize the creation of differends. Forgetting the downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02 day jail/d 24/11/09 am page 26. 26 Philosophy and Person Social Criticism 271, earlier distinction between becoming minor and becoming major, may now NDS this position to be internally incoherent, since almost all ethical principles involve caveats 1994. 131. With appearance of the familiar argument of performative contradiction, the new ment is not far off. May writes, the picture of ethical discourse we want to develop here is one that takes it as a practice of making, endorsing, and discussing claims that involve values and practical judgments, the commitment to which is, or at least ought to be, given by the weight of the best reasons on behalf of those values or practical judgments. 141. Thus, a book which contains some important work on points of contact between anarchist and post-structuralist theory is doomed to trail off into a consideration of analytic, rational universalist formulas such as whether one ought to perform action X under circumstances C, or indeed, how we shall know whether circumstances C obtain. 149. 7 By the Nalkerton, Lyotardels and Foucault have been hopelessly crushed under the weight of a descending Habermasian machine. The fatal problem for both J and me is that they cannot imagine how a commitment to GHT domination can be shared without recourse to universal intersubjective reason. 8 In recognizing only what it perceives as reasoned argumentation, modernist morality, including discourse ethics, may avoid logical contradiction, but at best condemns to marginality other ways of discovering and constructing moments of universality and particularity, and thereby becomes entangled in a performative contradiction of its own. At worst, it risks falling back into the Enlightenment humanist trap of responding with reasonable and justified violence to all who refuse to play by its rules. Surely, though, we can and do share much more than, much other than, claims backed up by reasons. From a Nietzschean perspective, reason itself is both a power-knowledge effect and a bodily effect. It is not timeless, placeless, or in any way transcendental. Invoking reason as ground, even as a tautological self-ground, masks, but does not remove, the necessity of making contingent ethical choices. Deconstruction and Contingency, in Force of Law 1992. 7 Jacques Derrida notes that there are many reasons why the majority of texts hastily identified as deconstructionist, for example, mine seem, I do say seem, not to foreground the theme of justice, or the theme of ethics or politics. He then provides a brief sketch of his attempts to engage with these issues, referring skeptical readers to particular texts in his oeuvre. In this article, which we are repeatedly reminded was derived from a talk necessarily addressed to an English-speaking audience, Derrida is at great pains to download it from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02DJL/D241109M page 27. 27 Day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities point out that deconstruction has always been ethical and political, driven by Levinasian sense of justice as responsibility without limits in the face of the other. 1992. 22. The unity of this demand means that justice, as a force mutually complicit with deconstruction, cannot be reduced to any particular system or injunction. It remains always to come venir. 1992. 267. The theme of Elvenir is further developed in Spectres of Marx 1994, where it is applied to democracy as well. Just as force of law maintains a rigorous distinction between justice which is common and law which has come, Spectres presents a critique of a liberal capitalist democracy that is haunted by the messianic promise of a future event. Is it still necessary to point out that liberal democracy of the parliamentary form has never been so much in the minority and so isolated in the world? Derrida asks. That it has never been in such a state of dysfunction in what we call the Western democracies. 1994. 789. Precisely because democracy and justice are always to come, history cannot end, and there will always remain the question of what is to be done. It seems clear that in developing these themes, Derrida is trying to answer, in his own way, the demands for an ethics and politics of deconstruction. And yet, because the answer comes in his own way, it still fails to provide anything like a normative framework, or even a regulative ideal. 1994-65, that would allow deconstruction democracy, or justice, to be fully characterized, and thereby subsumed by a political project. Derrida's description and critique of liberal capitalist democracy remains without an alternative prescription, even if, and perhaps because, it is haunted by certain Marxian specters. The question of the ground upon which Derridean deconstruction stands, and whether certain ethico-political effects necessarily follow from the occupation of this ground, has been insightfully addressed by Simon Critchley. Critchley argues that Derridean deconstruction has a horizon of responsibility or ethical significance, provided that ethics is understood in the Levinasian sense. 1999-236. In this Levinasian sense, ethics takes on a meaning similar to that given in the ethics/morality distinction discussed above, in that it does not seek to impose any universal normative procedures or codes. 1999-255. Rather, the phenomenological linguistic face of the other, whom I cannot evade, comprehend, or kill, calls forth an innate responsibility to justice, to justify myself. 1999-5. Levinasian ethics then relies upon the claim that the deep structure of subjective experience is always already engaged in a relation of responsibility, or better, responsivity to the other. Critchley, 1996-33. As mentioned above, Critchley argues that for himself, as for Derrida, this deep structural call to justice is best answered by a commitment to the idea of democracy. Venier, 1996-36. The work of Ernesto Laclau and Chantal Mouffe has also been downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 /d/24/11/09/M/28/28 Philosophy Ampersand Social Criticism 271, Guided by a Deconstructive Approach to Ethics and Politics, but Laclau's dubious of any ontological derivation or necessary political outcome of Levinasian ethics. He writes, "The illegitimate transition is to think that from the impossibility of a presence closed in on itself, some kind of ethical injunction to keep oneself open to the heterogeneity of the other necessarily follows." Laclau, 1996-77. Laclau contends that any action is always and necessarily the result of a contingent ethico-political choice. Thus, while one is indeed required to respond to the other, this response can and does just as easily take the form of apathy or violent confrontation as of compassion or respect. If Levin has sought an inversion of the priority of ontology over metaphysics, Laclau seeks their mutual subversion by giving primacy to a politicized ontology that is at the same time an ontology of the political. For Laclau, rather than leading to some pre-given decision, deconstruction increases the overall undecidability of the social order by showing how it has been contingently constructed through relations of power. Increasing undecidability means an increasing space for the operation of political contingent active rather than social merely sedimented logics. The effect of deconstruction is therefore to reactivate the moment of decision that underlies any sedimented set of social relations. 1996-78, emphasis in original. For Laclau then, democracy is not the manifest destiny of deconstruction. 1996-59. Arguing from within the Gramscian tradition, he holds that democracy does not need to be and cannot be radically grounded. We can move to a more democratic society only through a plurality of acts of democratization. 1996-79. While this formula avoids a certain sort of essentialism, it also begs the question of how we are to know an act of democratization when we see one. Laclau would argue, I think, that one simply cannot provide general answers to such questions. While neoliberals would claim that a move to free market conditions is an act of democratization, their opponents on the left would claim the opposite. If the free market comes to be seen as democratic, that will have been the result of a hegemonic articulation achieved by neoliberal ideology, and will have nothing to do with any essential qualities of either markets or democracies. This deep commitment to the logic of contingency, combined with a distaste for Leninist vanguardism and the tyranny of theory, has led Laclau and Mouffe to insist that not only are choices of action contingent, but so are the results of any action one might choose to take. In Hegemony and Socialist Strategy, for example, they are careful to note that their theory does not provide an a priori affirmation of the progressive nature of the new social movements Laclau and Mouffe, 1985. 87. Yet despite this thoroughgoing commitment to contingency, Laclau and Mouffe have, like Critchley and Derrida, argued for the further. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17, 2009 02 day jail / d24 11 009 am page 29 day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Community's Pursuit of What They Call the Democratic Revolution, Laclau and Mouffe, 1985. Mouffe, 1993. 10. Can they have it both ways? If it is not possible to ground an ethico-political choice in an ontological condition, and if there is no way to predict the effects of a chosen action, then why choose or act at all? This tenuous position has recently been characterized by Critchley, in his turn, as presenting the risk of a kind of normative deficit. If ethics without politics is empty, he writes, then politics without ethics is blind, 1998. 809. It is at this point of impasse that some of the value of the concept of affinity becomes apparent. To the extent that one sets out an ethico-political choice as a possible guide for action as Laclau and Mouffe do in their defense of the democratic revolution, one makes a call to others who would share this commitment, knowing the contingency of both the conditions of its choice and the effects this choice might have. However, the theory of hegemony suggests that after such a decision has been made, the system of probabilities has shifted. Further choices and outcomes become more likely than others. A positive feedback loop is set up so that every ethico-political choice has the effect opposite to deconstruction. It reduces the terrain of undecidability at the level of both ethico-political choices and the possible outcomes of action. Thus, hegemony relies upon a logic of affinity to replace both an ontological ground that would prescribe certain ethico-political choices and a scientific guild of social historical structures that would allow the outcomes of chosen actions to be predicted. With the notion of mutually reinforcing affinities, we arrive at the nearest thing to a program that is consistent with deconstructive theory. An abiding orientation to desirable social change to come, founded upon nothing more than the necessity of contingent ethico-political commitments that always, and necessarily, work to reconstitute the social order. Having come this far, a further question appears. If there are reasons to assume that certain effects might at least be more likely to follow after certain acts, as implied by Laclau and Mouffe's historical argument in favor of furthering the democratic revolution, is there anything else we might learn from history? Can theory and philosophy begin to speak about which acts might be more likely to bring a greater measure of democracy and justice without sacrificing the commitment to contingency? Can we confront the uneasy relation between actually existing forms of liberal democratic capitalism and any future forms to come? Clearly, democracy, justice and community are overworked seniors, confused and fatigued by several centuries of articulation with liberalism, capitalism, socialism and even certain totalitarian regimes. To begin to give situated meaning to these terms, a greater degree of nuance is needed than deconstructive political theory has so far provided. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17, 2009 02 day jail / d 24-11-09M, page 30. 30 Philosophy and Person Social Criticism, 271, Foucault and Dels. Towards an analytics of power, like Laclau and Mouffe, Foucault adheres to the central insight of what we might call Nietzschean sociology. Relations of power are inherent to human societies, and it is at best futile, at worst an invitation, to totalitarianism, to wish them away. But Foucault goes further than deconstructive political theory by providing an analytics of power and an ethic of care for the self that allow us to differentiate between the various modalities of power relations. The problem is not one of trying to dissolve left bracket relations of power right bracket in the utopia of a perfectly transparent communication, Foucault writes, but to give oneself the rules of law. The ethos, the practice of self, which would allow these games of power to be played with a minimum of domination, 1987. 129, emphasis added. This formulation begs several questions. First, how can a relation of domination be distinguished from other relations of power? And second, just what are these rules that one can give oneself in the name of minimizing relations of domination? Foucault's analytics of power provides an answer to the RST question by way of the play he sets up between relations of power as strategic games between liberties and states of domination, 1987. 130. In the RST case, we have what we might call live relations of power, in that most of the players, most of the time, have some ability to alter the situations in which they empty themselves. In the second, though of power has congealed or been blocked, preventing reversibility of movement for some of the players, most of the time, 1987. 114. In these situations, which are brought about through the use of special techniques of government, 1987. 130. Individuals are confronted by what we might call dead power. But this is not the end of the game. At this precise point, a third type of power relation must be considered, that of struggle or resistance, which Foucault argues is necessarily found wherever there is domination, 1987. 123. Now, while his analyses portray all three of these modalities as mutually interpenetrating, Foucault does not see them as axiologically equivalent. For him, the role of the intellectual is to participate, along with others, in a struggle against the forms of power that transform him left bracket or her right bracket into its object and instrument. A struggle aimed at revealing and undermining power where it is most invisible and insidious, Foucault, 1996. 75. These local and regional hybrid practices of resistance are one way in which individuals and groups can work against relations of domination. But they are not the only way. Within the ethic of care for the self, a further modality can be found, that of exerting control over oneself so that one does not give into an urge to exercise tyrannical power over others, Foucault, 1987. 119. Foucault achieves a curious, but crucial, inversion of the Christian paradigm. One gives oneself an downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ, on March 17, 2009, 02 day jail / d, 24-11-009M, page 31. 31 day. Ethics, affinity and the common communities, ethics so as not to succumb to the temptation of morality. It is important to note that with this recourse to ancient ethics, Foucault is not calling for the return of something lost in the past. Rather, he suggests that the ethic of care for the self could be of use in helping to produce something new in philosophy and politics by offering an alternative to modern Christian ethic of self-sacrifice in the name of care for others, 1987. 11516. The something new, what could it be like? There are clear affinities between Foucault's commitment to resistance, to domination, and the deconstructive themes of openness, the veneer, and contingency. But again, the Habermasian skeptic is sure to note, we have the characteristic orientation only to what cannot be said or done. The question remains, Does post-structuralism have anything positive to say about possibilities for social action and transformation? The works of Dels and Guattari are of help here, as they offer the boldest, and hence the most dangerous, forays into constructive social criticism to be found among the writers commonly considered as post-structuralist. In a certain mood, ethical injunctions lie from Dels and Guattari's texts, as though seeking respite from the heavy burden of perspectivist rigor. Always follow the rhizome by rupture, we are told. Lengthen, prolong, and relay the line of it. Dels and Guattari, 1986. 11. Left bracket increase your territory, by detritorialization I bid. We should stop believing in trees, roots, and radicals. 1986. 15. Don't bring out the general in you. Make maps, not photos, or drawings. Be the Pink Panther. 1986. 25. In another mood, Dels and Guattari issue somber warnings about the kind of ecstasy into which they themselves are prone to fall. They write, if it is a question of showing that rhizomes also have their own, even more rigid, despotism and hierarchy than ne and good. For there is no ontological dualism between good and bad, no blend or American synthesis. 1986. 20. Reason fails in Dels and Guattari's texts, though it does not fail miserably. It fails joyfully and playfully in the same way that the Pink Panther paints the world his own color. Both ecstasy, passion, and caution, reason, are set loose, neither subordinated to the other. But this does not mean that anything goes. Dels and Guattari never exhort their readers to become a man of the state, do royal science, or get Oedipal. A crucial aspect of Dels's philosophical method is his commitment to a style of criticism that proceeds by the creation of alternatives. Alternative readings, concepts, planes of immanence. Dels and Guattari's social criticism, as Ian Mackenzie has argued, similarly involves the creation of new concepts of society, or at least the creation of new concepts pertaining to social relations. 1997. 1317 n. 41. Thus, although they are careful to point out that there are no general recipes or globalizing concepts to which one can turn with certainty in every case, downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17, 2009, 02 day jail / d 24/11/00/9 am page 32. 32 Philosophy & Social Criticism 271, Dels and Guattari's pragmatic evaluation of contemporary Western societies tends to identify certain excesses and provide suggestions as to how these excesses might be fought, repaired, or partially escaped. But what is to be fought, and why? While Dels and Guattari, like Laclau and Mouffe, are careful to avoid ontological dualisms that would precede and motivate ethico-political choice and social analysis, they utilize a network of contingent dualisms that enable their critique of particular systems of power relations. I will focus here on only one linked subset of concepts that resonates with and adds further complexity to Foucault's work on the analytics of power. Foucault, as I have noted, marks a distinction at the level of system, that is, at the level of process between relatively open and relatively blocked relations of power. Dels and Guattari provide further distinctions at the level of structure with their notions of arborescent and rhizomatic forms of organization. Contemporary Western societies are societies of the tree, hierarchical systems with centers of senience and subjectication. An element only receives information from a higher unit, and only receives a subjective affection along pre-established paths. Dels and Guattari, 1986. 16. Such systems, as chains of command, subordinate the line to the point. They see lines only as functional linkages between points, and they attempt to overcode all possible points and connections between them. Nine rhizomatic structures, on the other hand, are asyncert systems, night networks of automata, in which communication runs from any neighbor to any other. The stems and channels do not pre-exist. Left bracket the nodes. Right bracket and the local operations are coordinated without a central agency. 1986. 17. Where arborescent systems try to implement what we might call a Hegelian dialectic, in the sense of an airtight, preordained teleological outcome, rhizomes implement a Bakhtinian dialogics. No one is in control, decisions are emergent, as are the very identities and connections through which decisions are made. That this analytic distinction is at the same time an ethico-political choice is shown when Dels and Guattari claim that all of tree logic is a logic of tracing and reproduction and exhort their readers to make a map left bracket rhizome right bracket, not a tracing. 1986. 12. For them, writing a rhizome means ceaselessly establishing right bracket connections between semiotic chains, organizations of power, and circumstances relative to the arts, sciences, and social struggles. 1986. 7. But along with these exhortations come two warnings. Trees may correspond to the rhizome, they may burgeon into a rhizome, and vice versa. 1986. 17. One must also watch out for false rhizomes of the radical type, which are non-hierarchical, local and multiple, yet still governed by a singular, authoritarian logic. We need look no further than the form of the multinational corporation for an example of the efficacy and ubiquity of the radical rhizome, downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02-JL/D-24-1100-9M-33-33-Day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities. Contemporary Western societies are not only societies of the tree. They are also societies of the state form. Since it is impossible to do justice to this concept here, I will restrict the discussion to the couplet war machine slash state form and the relations of this couplet with arborescent slash rhizomatic distinction. State forms, at the highest level of generality, are apparatuses of capture that bring outside elements inside by connecting them up with an arborescent system. While Dels and Guattari do provide elements of a genealogy, 1986, 42,437, they are careful to point out that the state form cannot be traced back to a point of origin. Rather, there have been states always and everywhere, 429, coexisting in relations of competition and cooperation with war machines, forces that are exterior to the state apparatus, and attempt to untie the bonds of capture, 352, to destroy the state and its subjects. Dels and Parnett, 1983, 104. In terms of social and political effects, states tend to perpetuate already instantiated arborescent forms, while war machines tend to destroy old forms and instantiate new ones through rhizomatic connections. Thus, for Dels and Guattari, revolutionary organization must be that of the war machine and not of state apparatus. Guattari, 1995, 66. Indeed, they see their own writing as an operation that weds war machine and lines of it, abandoning the state apparatus. Dels and Guattari, 1986, 24. Yet just as arborescent forms can grow rhizomatic appendages, states can and must incorporate war machines, tame them and put them to use in an institutionalized army, make them part of the general police function. Dels and Parnett, 1983, 103. This is the special danger of the war machine. If it does not succeed in warding off the development of a state form, it must pass into the service of the state or destroy itself. 104. It is here, in the form of ecstatic injunctions, accompanied by somber warnings, that Dels and Guattari, like Foucault, present not only a negative call to resistance, but also a consistent and positive ethico-political stance. At times, they take us even further than this, advocating what Keith Ansel Pearson has called novel images of positive social relations. Ansel Pearson, 1998. 410. Thus, Dels, we have no need to totalize that which is invariably totalized on the side of left bracket dead right bracket power. If we were to move in this direction, it would mean restoring the representative forms of centralism and a hierarchical structure. We must set up lateral affiliations, and an entire system of networks, and popular bases. Foucault, 1996. 78. Unlike the Müller forms of social transformation, these molecular movements, downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ, on March 17, 2009, 02 day jail / d, 24/11/00, 9 am page 34. 34 Philosophy ampersand Social Criticism 271 would resist the will to domination in Foucault's sense, in favor of affinity. That is, they would take up ethico-political positions, but refuse to try coercively to generalize these positions by making moral, ontological, or other foundational claims. On the common communities, the notion of rhizomatic or molecular social change can help to shed some light upon the problem of the uneasy tension in deconstructive political theory between actually existing forms of liberal democratic capitalism and any future forms of justice and democracy to come. Laclau, for example, has maintained that there is only a contingent articulation between capitalism, liberalism and democracy, 1996-121, and MOVE has argued that the liberal and democratic traditions were articulated only in the 19th century, and thus are not necessarily related, in any way 1993. 10. This position is clearly intended to avoid the sort of political quietism that can emerge from the death of civil society thesis, 10, by pointing out that the dominant moments of contemporary Western societies are always being de- and re-articulated. Following this logic, Laclau has stated his preference for a liberal democratic socialist society that might emerge out of liberal democratic capitalism, 1996-121. Yet in his idea of a radically democratic society, there would be a global singular level of community with a specific identity, which itself would contain a plurality of spaces. It would seem that this form of radical democracy is reliant upon something akin to, if not formally identical with, the nation-states that make up the current system of states, within which the liberal institutions, parliament, elections, divisions of power, are maintained ibid. Now, to the extent that it has been able to achieve redistribution of wealth and enforce certain kinds of rights, the liberal democratic state has contributed to substantive equality and has in this way furthered the democratic revolution. Certainly it does well in a comparison with the various forms of totalitarianism that have sprung up in 20th century societies. However, liberal democracy is also a frighteningly arborescent form, which relies upon dead power to achieve its effects. For example, mainstream individuals and institutions in the multicultural nation-states have been legally coerced into a grudging respect for ethnocultural minorities. Perhaps unsurprisingly, they are now responding with renewed, and often more virulent, forms of racialized nativism. A similar trend can be seen in the decline of the Keynesian accommodation within the developed world, and the ongoing underdevelopment and destabilization of the great majority of peoples who are not so fortunate as to belong to this elite club. If we acknowledge, along with deconstructive, downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ, on March 17, 2009, 02 day jail / d, 24/11/00, 9 am page 35. 35 day. Ethics, affinity and the common community's political theory that the liberal capitalist system of nation-states is not inherently either good or evil. The next step might be to ask, taking into account all of its effects, does the system of states tend overall to hasten or hamper the coming of democracy and justice? Clearly such questions can never be answered by way of an appeal to some unproblematic empirical reality. But it is also important to avoid the dangers of addressing liberal democratic capitalism from a futile point of view that treats all moments of democratization as equivalent. It would seem that in order for practical discussions to proceed, It will be necessary to appreciate that we are waiting for events that are not so easily assimilated by such terms as justice and democracy, events that are in certain aspects incommensurable with each other. 11. Taken into account both deconstructive political theory and Dell's and Guattari's critique of arborescent structures, Giorgio Agamben has argued that the task of contemporary politics will no longer be a struggle for conquest or control of power, as Domination 1993. 85. But will involve the creation of a community with neither presuppositions nor a state 1993. 82. Following Debord's argument, in the society of the spectacle, Agamben posits subjectivity as singularity, as the only effective means of resistance to and creation in the margins of an interlocking system of mediatized forms of state domination and capitalist exploitation. Unlike Habermas, however, he does not appeal to a mythical realm of reason outside the system of liberal capitalist nation-states as the source of a rejuvenating power. What hampers communication, he argues, is communicability itself. Humans are separated by what unites them. 1993. 81. Unimaginable within either the modern or postmodern variants of liberalism, the concept of the common community challenges the false dichotomy between the ineffability of the individual and the intelligibility of the universal by appealing to singular rather than mass poles of identification. 1993. 1. Agamben's formulation thus offers an enticing line of it from the remnants of classical political thought that still inhabit the dominant theories of radical democracy. Taking this line entails its own costs and dangers, of course. Derridean deconstruction hammers home the fact that the advent of a stateless communion, like that of justice or democracy, must remain always to come. The analytics of power, developed by Foucault and by Dells and Guattari, reminds us that the battle between domination and resistance, state forms and war machines, will never be won decisively by either side. At the same time, however, these theoretical tendencies have kept open the question of how we can contribute to the greater achievement of non-dominational relations of power in actually existing societies while refusing to yield to the yearning for a state of now harmonious happiness. Clearly, the time of the posts is passing. It would be a shame, though, to be too hasty. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ on March 17, 2009. 02DJL/D241100-9M page 36. 36 Philosophy Ampersand Social Criticism 271, Retreat from the Insights, Reduced by a Necessary Phase of Active Nihilism, in Late 20th Century, Social and Political Thought. Perhaps radical projects yet to come are not in need of a universalistic component that would allow them to be subsumed under a new form of Sittlichkeit. Rather, let us imagine that they will thrive only as a multiplicity of common communities working together and in disparateness to simultaneously ward off corporate, national and state identifications and to nurture new forms of creative commonality. Department of Sociology, Simon Fraser University, Burnaby, BC, Canada. PSC. Notes for their contributions to the development of my ideas on ethics and political theory, I want to thank the members of the PhD seminar in the Ideology and Discourse Analysis Program at Essex University, especially Jason Glynos, Ernesto Laclau and Yanis Stavrakakis. I also want to acknowledge the many discussions I have had with Mark Cott, Greg Dupter, David Furman and Richard Powes. One, it is worth noting that Fraser later came to prefer the discourse models of writers like Foucault, Berdou Bacton, Habermas and Gramsci instead of those of Lacan, Kristeva, Sauchre and Derrida. She locates the fault of the Lacanian and Derridean approaches in their structuralist reduction of discourse to symbolic system. See Nancy Fraser, The Uses and Abuses of French Discourse Theorists, for Feminist Politics, Theory, Culture and Society 9, 1992, 51, 68n, 1, 2. In this article 1, we'll use the term post-structuralism only, as it is employed by others, that is, as an unfortunately vague other ascription, that connotes important differences between some of the writers I want to discuss. 3C Appendix 1 of the 1999 edition of The Ethics of Deconstruction, for Simon Critchley's critical self-reactions upon this theme. For a theorist such as Agnes Heller, for example, moral philosophy cannot renounce the task of providing guidelines for all kinds of possible moral advice to any actor who formulates the question, "What is the right thing for me to do?" Nor can it renounce the simultaneous task of offering a general answer to the question, "How should I live?" 1990. 53. Moral philosophy, for Heller, is to act as a guide to ethical choice, and a guide of a particular sort. It will offer advice of all kinds to any actor by providing general answers to questions posed by a shared human condition. 5. This is, of course, precisely how Nietzsche disrupts and appropriates the Kantian categorical imperative, suggesting that we give ourselves our own tablets of law that cannot be generalized. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com/cornelunov on March 17, 2009 02 day jail/d 24/11/09 page 37. 37 day. Ethics, Affinity and the Common Communities 6 on this point, Dels has claimed that establishing ways of existing, or styles of life, isn't just an aesthetic matter, it's what Foucault called ethics, as opposed to morality. The difference is that morality presents us with a set of constraining rules, of a special sort, ones that judge actions and intentions by considering them in relation to transcendent values. This is good, that's bad. Ethics is a set of optional rules that assess what we do, what we say, in relation to the ways of existing involved. We say this, do that. What way of existing does it involve? Dels, 1995, 100. Seventh May claims that this approach is not one that follows the quasi-transcendental path of Habermas and Oppelme, 1994, 141. This is because he believes that contingency and impurity do not form bars to ethical commitment, and that ethical commitments can be found within, rather than beneath, discursive practice. Ibid. 146. However, Anasmakas May's position necessarily connotes the morality ethics distinction. It fails to respect the crucial point of differentiation between discourse ethics and post-structuralism. 8th May argues that Lyoter dissimulates all given of reasons, and thus all claims to truth, to cognitive discourse. By doing so, he precludes the possibility of ethics being a practice, one that can be shared among people rather than engaged in solely by oneself. May, 1994, 143. This passage contains a number of spurious transitions. RST, it assumes that ethics involves claims to truth. Then it assumes that all claims to truth must be based on reasons. Nally, and most importantly, it refuses to consider the possibility that human beings can share anything other than truth claims. 9. Here we might think of the so-called decision tree. Starting from a single point, one moves along lines to other points, guided at each step by a preordained binary law or map. 10. For the opposite effect, i.e., a productive reading of the death of civil society, ca. Negri and M. Hart, Labor of Dionysus, Minneapolis, University of Minnesota Press, 1994. 11. For example, indigenous peoples around the world have been either marginalized by or forcibly assimilated to the system of nation-states. In many cases, what might signify as justice would be directly linked to sovereignty that cannot be granted within the democratic institutions of the European model. PSC. Bibliography Agamben, G. 1993, The Common Community, Trans. Michael Hart. Minneapolis and London, University of Minnesota Press. Ansel Pearson, K. 1998, Freedom and the Politics of Desire, Political Theory 26-3, 399,412. Critchley, S. 1996, Deconstruction and pragmatism as Derrida private ironist, or a public liberal. Enchantle Mouffed, Deconstruction and Pragmatism. London. Routledge. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ, on March 17, 2009 02 day jail / d, 24-11-009 am page 38. 38 Philosophy Ampersand Social Criticism 271 Critchley, S. 1998, Metaphysics in the Dark. A Response to Richard Rorty and Ernesto Laclau, Political Theory 26-6, December. 80,317. Critchley, S. 1999, The Ethics of Deconstruction, 2nd ed. Edinburgh. Edinburgh University Press. Dells, G. 1992. Postscript on the Societies of Control, October 59 Winter. 37. Dells, G. 1995 Negotiations. New York. Columbia University Press. Dells, G. and Guattari, F. 1986, A Thousand Plateaus. Capitalism and Schizophrenia. Minneapolis. University of Minnesota Press. Dells, G. and Parnett. See 1983 Politics, in On the Line, Trans. John Johnston. New York. Semiotext T. Derrida, J. 1992, Force of Law. The Mystical Foundation of Authority, in Drusa Cornell et al. Eds, Deconstruction and the Possibility of Justice. London. Routledge. Derrida, J. 1994, Spectres of Marx. London. Routledge. Foucault, M. 1984, What is Enlightenment? In the Foucault Reader, ed. P. Rabineau. New York. Pantheon. Foucault, M. 1987, The Ethic of Care, for the Self as a Practice of Freedom, Philosophy and Social Criticism 1223, Summer. 11,231. New York. Semiotext T. Fraser, N. 1981. Foucault and Modern Power. Empirical Insights and Normative Confusions, Praxis International 1-3. 27,287. Guattari, F. 1995 Cassophy. New York. Semiotext T. Habermas, J. 1987, The Philosophical Discourse of Modernity. Cambridge Ma. Mitt Press. Heller, 1990, The Contingent Person, and the Existential Choice, in M. Kelly ed. Hermeneutics and Critical Theory, in Ethics and Politics. Cambridge Ma. Mitt Press. J. M. 1993, Force Fields. London. Routledge. Laclau, 1996a, Emancipations. London. Rousseau. Laclau, 1996b, Deconstruction Pragmatism, and Hegemony. Enchantle Mouffed, Deconstruction and Pragmatism. London. Routledge. Laclau, E. and Mouff, C. 1985, Hegemony and Socialist Strategy. Towards Radical Democratic Politics. London. Rousseau. Mackenzie, I. 1997, Creativity as Criticism. The Philosophical Constructivism of Dells and Guattari, Radical Philosophy 86 November December. 718. May, T. 1994, The Political Philosophy of Post-Structuralist Anarchism. University Park. University of Pennsylvania Press. Mouffe, C. 1993, The Return of the Political. London. Rousseau. Richters, A. 1988, Modernity-Postmodernity Controversies. Habermas and Foucault, Theory, Culture and Society 5. 61,143. Taylor, C. 1984, Foucault and Freedom and Truth, Political Theory 12th March. 15,283. Downloaded from http://psc.sagepub.com at Cornell Univ, on March 17, 2009.